Let's invite the presence of the Lord.
Your river runs with love for me, and I will open
truth, and I will daily lift my head, for I will always sing when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of this I know, but when the world has seen the light, they will dance in joy like we're dancing now. Oh, I feel like dancing. Oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. When the world has seen the light, they will dance in joy like we're dancing now. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. Pure heart, let us not lift our souls to another.
We sing, we bow our hearts,
we bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us.
A new song. It's one of my favorite songs, and it's a song that God met me through in 2016. And yeah, I just love this song, and I'm sure the boys who got back from Mexico love it too. So we're gonna learn it today, and I hope we can sing it together with all of our hearts.
simply exists.
Consume my thoughts.
Consume my thoughts as I rest in you. I'm now in love with the Savior, bearing the marks of His love.
That's with everything I am.
So it's with everything I am. I reach out for Your hand. The hope for change, the second chance I gain. On You I throw my. Yes, you do.
satisfies like you do, God. Help us to be fully committed to you, God. Help us to have an undivided heart towards you alone, God. Help us to trust in you alone, Jesus. Father, would you reveal yourself to us, Lord? Every single day, God, we need you, Father. We look to you, God. Help us to love you, God. And Lord, today, would you speak to us, God, through your Spirit. Father, would you give us the word that we need to hear, God? Jesus, would you feed us? We're hungry for you. Jesus, would you quench our thirst? We're so thirsty for you, Jesus. Would you be with us today, Lord? We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sora always wants to say something. We have Isaac and Joshua joining us. Well, we have a special Sunday because we have three returning missionaries, and there's a lot to share. I got a preview from my son, and I was blown away. And so I can't wait for everyone to hear. Maybe we'll have. Actually, I'll leave it up to the three. You guys decide the order for yourselves, but we want to hear from you.
It's up to you. Tim will go after, I guess. Hello, I'm Josh, and I went on a trip, 1 week trip to Mexico with Timo and Paulina, and I think it was really great. I shared a couple of months ago when I went to a similar trip, and I think it's quite tough sometimes because we don't get much sleep and we wake up really early, and it's a tiring day of service, of worship services, and then straight into church services with the local churches and that sort of thing. And so, in spite of all of that, though, I think personally I was really happy and just really joyful because I felt like this was the purpose of my life, to live to serve God. And so, I was filled with the joy of the Lord, I feel like, while I was there. Every day I would wake up exhausted, but so happy. And so for some things that I felt like I learned or God shared with me this trip was trying to learn how to live a Christian life, the daily life. And it's quite simple, I guess, but it was more of trying to be, being holy means you have to be set apart, and that you have to live your daily life unlike other men or other people of the world, and that we have to set ourselves apart. And so I've been really challenged, and honestly that meant, even while I was there, in a good way, I wanted to come back because I wanted to learn how to do that walk at home. And honestly, it's been like 4 days, and it's still, I don't have it set down a lot of things, like my Bible reading and that sort of thing, but I feel like more and more that I think about it, there was one time where I kept trying to surrender to God. I mean, that's what I shared before, but surrendering and surrendering. And as I kept surrendering every day, like over the span of the 6 to 7 days at the retreat, I feel like I could surrender more and more. And at some point, I feel like I was able to imagine myself in my, as my Christian, like, ideal self in a way. And that was my greatest desire, to be like that side of me. And so I think that's because oftentimes I imagine myself like career-wise or even other things, and like having developed these skills, and that's what I desire in my heart. And even when I try to surrender it to God, that's often what keeps coming up and what I really want. But then at that time I realized actually that the person I want to be in the future, if I have to give everything up, I think being that sort of sensitive person with God is what I really desire. So that became my new heart's desire. And I think God changed my heart's desire from wanting to pursue, like, you know, successful career and all of that, to being that sort of person. And so that was the biggest change I felt like it was for me. And I think there's just so much joy being out there. And God answered all my prayers for myself while I'm up there. Like, I had a lot of questions for, like, am I saved or not? And I opened the Bible, and the next verse is like, if you have, I think it was, it was in John 14 or something, was it? I need to find it. But it was like, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, then that is like the promise of your inheritance with God. Something like that. I need to find that. And I felt like I've encountered the Holy Spirit. And so that's when I felt assured of my salvation. And that was right after I asked that to God. And a lot of other prayer requests was for Timo and when I was there. And I think every little thing that I asked for Timo too, God was like, okay, I'll do that. And I'm sure he'll share more. But the one specific thing was like, oftentimes, I mean, they also agree, like, they don't like to sing like really loudly or anything. And I mean, that's not a bad thing, but I always thought, like, you know, just to worship is not about like yourself and anything else, and just like give everything sometimes. And of course there's the tender worship, but at other times it's just like, Lord, I don't care about anybody else, and I'll just worship as undignified as I need to be. And that's why my kind of prayer request was like, Timo would sing out loudly. I mean, this, like, of course it's not like the indication of anything, but there was a time when he was asked to share, and other people, or like he decided to share. He'll share more, but several people shared, but only at his turn. The pastor was like, if you really want to, then sing this song. And he gave him the mic and told him to sing Jesus Loves Me. This item, like, Jesus Loves Me. And at first, the pastor was holding the mic for him. And then Timo took the mic and started singing it out loud in front of everyone. And that was when I was like, I think the Lord did that only because I asked the Lord for that prayer. Because nobody else who shared was told to do that, but only Timo. And so I was like, Lord, you know, and it's funny, it's hilarious. I was laughing so much. And if you want to, probably gonna record it a little bit. Timo is shaking right now, but yeah, I think just there was so much joy there, and it felt so much like a family. And I want to become, and I my hope was that without many words, I wanted to show in my life the change that I've experienced. And so it might be gradual. I hope it's not too gradual, but that I can show with my life that my life has been changed. That was my main goal. So that's it. So thank you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hello. There's no recording, so don't ask for it. I came to MYO with one like major prayer request, and that would be to experience the joy and peace of that can only be found in Jesus. And I think this was kind of born out of being baptized just 3 weeks ago and being disillusioned about the world. I already shared in my testimony about it. I knew in my mind that the world was empty and that there was like no real joy or no real peace that could come from pursuing it. But at the same time, I felt like I was saved and it felt like nothing was changed. I didn't feel like Jesus had the joy or peace. I didn't feel like he could give it to me in a way because I had never experienced it. So I was just praying that I would be able to experience it. And on the second day, there was an altar call that I think the prompt was, if you have any fears, surrender them to the Lord. And I don't know exactly how that applied to me, but I just prayed and asked God, if you want me to go up right now, make it clear or make me go up. And one of the pastors, my eyes are closed and I'm praying, and one of the pastors said, if you're standing right now, come forward. And so I opened my eyes and I saw everyone else was sitting down. And I honestly don't remember when he said to sit down. So yeah, that was when I just went up with really not many thoughts. Just, okay, I'll go up. I don't know what to expect. And while I was up there, I felt like God told me, through my own words, I just said, you've never abandoned me, but I've abandoned you. And when I said those words, I just started crying a lot. And I was reminded of all the ways that God had never abandoned me in my life, mainly through homeschooling, which was a source of contempt towards God and towards my parents in a way. And then the words I had never, or, and then the words that I said, but I abandoned you. And I felt like that was God saying, how can you say that I don't have joy and peace? You have to believe that I do, right? And after I cried and stuff, I felt like I was filled with the Holy Spirit's joy and peace. Because right afterwards, the rest of the day was just so good. And through everything, I just felt like God was just pouring out his love for me. And yeah, so that day was awesome. And the rest of the week was affirming that Jesus had met me in a way, because I think being in the church and being religious kind of causes me to doubt a lot and overthink things. So yeah, I was just praying that God would affirm my salvation in a way and affirm that the Holy Spirit really did fill me, because I could hear all the people speaking in tongues around me and falling over, and that didn't happen to me. So I was doubting, like, maybe the Holy Spirit isn't in me. But then I think through the word, I was just encouraged, because the main verse that spoke to me was John 15:16, where the phrase, you did not choose me, but I chose you, really spoke to me. And there are other verses that were about the Holy Spirit that didn't necessarily mean that you needed the gifts, but if you had the fruits of the Spirit, then you know that you have the Holy Spirit. And I had experienced the joy and peace. So I was pretty satisfied in a way. But still, on the last day, I just prayed for the gift of tongues, just for like the 100% confirmation that I had the Holy Spirit. And so as I was praying, I was just surrendering things that possibly was blocking the gifts are just surrendering more and more things that I definitely saw I needed to. And one thing that came to mind that I had never thought about before was the desire for Christian friends, which I think came out of this trip, because this was like the first time that I really enjoyed being with people, and they're all Christian, so it was just a really good time of serving God together, and I laughed a lot, and it was really fun. So I think Jesus was just saying, like, wait, I'm your best friend. These people are, they're friends, they're good things, but don't let them take the place of me, right? So I surrendered that. Yes, Jesus, you're my best friend. And then as I was praying, I felt someone touch my forehead, and I kind of just like fell backwards, and I was just on the floor. And at first I was self-conscious and a little freaked out because, it felt like I had no control over my body, but I knew I could move if I wanted to. But then while I was on the floor, I felt like I was moved to the back of the room because the noise had kind of shifted in a way. And this might be my imagination, but if it was, it was still so good, because as I was laying there, I felt like a presence next to me. And in my mind, the way I pictured it was Jesus with his hands on his behind his head, just laying there next to me. And I was filled with like a new peace and new joy, more than I had felt the first time. And I don't want to lose it here. And so just pray for me, pray that I can increase in my faith in the times where it's not like this clear that God is meeting me and not as real. But in those moments, I felt like God was so real. And that was like my overarching prayer, I think. So thank you. Amen.
Hello. I don't know if I can trump that, but for me, God was teaching me two things. First thing was about love, and secondly about being set apart. I realized how people see God is through his image being lived out in us. That's how people see God. It's so simple. So I realized how important it is to be a living image of Jesus if we really want people to know him. And we're unholy, unable to love without God. Because love is spiritual. Love is seeking the good of the other above yourself. But we're selfish, sinful human beings. We're unable to love naturally without God. So I realized, wow, even to love, it takes a supernatural encounter with God to be able to know what it means to love. But I realized I really want to know how to love, because I want to be the living image of Jesus. That's the only way that people can know him on this earth. So I asked God, you know, teach me how to love. I don't know how to love. I am a selfish human being. Please teach me how to love. And if the same power, the resurrection power of Jesus lives inside of me and we have access to that power, then it must mean that we can overcome in the way that Jesus did. It must mean that I can learn how to love, that I can be the living image of Jesus in my life to those around me and bring others to God by living that image, you know, living out that purpose. We have power over discouragement, over sickness. We have power over selfishness, over our sin, over any limitations. And so I asked for God's heavenly wisdom to teach me how to love. And I really felt like God really answered my prayer on the mission field, where he opened my eyes to see how I can love people in ways that were beyond my ability. I really felt like he gave me that supernatural wisdom for these people that I hadn't met before, you know, that he was giving me a heart that loved them, that I did not come up with by myself. And it just felt so good to be God's vessel, and just, like, nothing feels so good, I think. Yeah, felt so good to love his people. And love changed everything that I did. It changed everything that I said. It changed the way I looked at people. It changed the way I touched people. It changed the way I prayed. It changed the way I preached. I got the opportunity to preach for the children's service, and I felt like, oh, God was teaching me how to love and how it's all about love. And the only way we can love is when we are nothing, when we're zero. So I was praying, God, help me to be nothing. Help me to be invisible. I just want to be zero so that they can know your love. And when I felt that, like when I was preaching and when I was sharing the gospel, I was understanding the power of the cross and I was understanding what it really meant to love. And I felt so filled with the Holy Spirit, where like every word that I was speaking, I knew it was the word from the Lord. And afterwards, I just felt this complete, like I felt complete peace the entire time, because I felt like I was in just a different dimension. And all I was preaching was Jesus and the cross, and that was enough. And like we were able to witness children being saved. And there was this one kid, Jesus, who started crying, and he was saying he felt the Father's love, and he was like crying his eyes out and hugging all of us and just going on and on about the love of God. And it was just so crazy to see that God can use, that the cross is enough, and God can use people like us, you know, just by laying down our own lives and by just letting him do everything. So I was just so at peace. I was so joyful. And I felt like, wow, this is so amazing. And I felt like I knew that I had said the word that God wanted me to say. And I don't even really remember what I said. But I just know, like, I knew this is the work of God. And throughout the whole mission trip after that, too, I was like, I also gave a healing seminar. And it's part of my testimony, too. But I just felt like the same thing, like, when I laid down myself and when I just really asked for God's heart for these people, that God opened my eyes to see how to, like, see them the way he saw them, that I could love them with his love. And when I was doing the healing seminar, I really felt like the same thing, that God's presence was there, that God's grace was there, and that every word, like, his spirit was just flowing. And I just felt just so in awe of God. And it felt so good. It felt so good to just be a God's vessel. And I don't know, it was just so amazing to see that, God touching their hearts and opening their hearts. And I was just so excited. And then, yeah, I knew that God was teaching me, telling me that he wanted to set me apart before Mexico. Ever since I moved home from my friends in Fullerton and OC, and I moved back to Malibu, and I have nobody, there's nobody there, just my family. And I came back, I started coming to this church and just really being set apart. I knew that God had been telling me that, but I hadn't really embraced it. Like, okay, yes, God, I will be set apart and come alongside God. I was just kind of like, oh, yeah. Like setting me apart, but not really like giving my heart into it. But I felt like through this trip that God was really increasing my desire to be set apart for him. And it came as like a little nudge. And then throughout the trip, it became like this burning desire in my heart that like, I want every moment to be a worship to God. Every breath that I breathe, every word that I speak, every thought that I think, I want to be holy. And there was a one message that I think they were all blessed by too, that said like, if we act according to our flesh, the devil knows exactly what we're going to do, because his mind is the mind of the flesh and the mind of this world. So if he knows what situation to put us in to make us fall into temptation or to make us, you know, he knows exactly what we're going to do. He's figured us out if we're living according to the flesh. But the preacher was saying like, the Holy Spirit is like the wind, that you don't know which way it blows. And so it is with the people born of the Spirit, that we must be born again. And if we do not act according to the flesh, Satan cannot understand what, he doesn't understand. He has no idea what we're doing. He cannot predict this. He cannot foresee what we're going to do, because we act so contrary to our fleshly nature. And I was just so struck by that. And I repented so hard, because I was like, I'm taking the bait every day by living according to my flesh. You know, what am I doing? Every time that I give in to my anger, every time that I give in to my thoughts, you know, every time that I let bitterness feed me, every time that I, you know, indulge in something, I'm giving in to my flesh, and the devil knows exactly what I'm going to do. But with the people who are walking in the Spirit, he cannot know. And that's why when Jesus came as a humble servant, and he came the lowest of the low, Satan could not predict that. He was blown away, and he had no clue that that Jesus was going to do that because it was so contrary to his nature. And we are called to be like that, where Satan gives us something, we can say no to it. When he tells us something and we can say no to it, we can forgive, we can love our neighbors, we can bless those who persecute us, we can say no to the world, you know, and we can be the scum of the earth for God. And that's when we can overcome Satan. And I was so just, I felt like God opened my eyes, like, oh my gosh, what am I living my life for? I've been so fleshly my whole life. I've been so giving in, taking the bait of Satan my whole life. Far be it from me, God, that I ever do that again. So I just felt like I need to be set apart. I need to be set apart. And he just convicted me for so long that I had been one foot in the world, one foot in with Jesus. I wanted to be accepted by the world, but I wanted to be have faith too. You know, one of my cousins, one big struggle that God was teaching me was that Jesus was that all my cousins, they all, my dad has three older siblings and they all are doctors and they all married like doctors and they all had kids, three kids each, and they all became doctors. And they all became, one of them is like a Google engineer, he makes millions of dollars, you know. Everyone else is like doctors and they all went to Harvard, Stanford, Ivy League, and even, you know, my brother's a pre-med and my sister's, she's an accountant, which is very, which is different, but for me, I had nothing, you know, and all I had that they would ask me every time we had a reunion was like, oh, how's your church going, you know, how's singing, you know, and that, like, to me, that was actually a big struggle in my life because I felt like, God, I have nothing to give these people. I'm despised. I'm weak in this world, God, and what do I have to give, you know? I have nothing in this world. But God was leading me to repentance and saying, like, why do I want to be one foot in, one foot out? It's more hindero, it's more tiring to be one foot in and one foot out with trying to do both. If you're going to go all in, just go all in is what I realized. Just go all in. Just be unashamed. Just go and be all in, you know? Just embrace it. I'll be the lowest of the low, and I embrace it. I am so happy to be that. And it felt like God was just setting me free, you know? Like, I don't care anymore. I don't care if I'm despised. I don't care if the vaccine or whatnot. Like, yeah, I won't get it. Kick me out of school. Kick me out. I don't care, but I'm going to stand with Jesus. I'm going to stand with him to the end. There's nothing that can get me to stand away from Jesus. I don't care. People, even if there's, even on the mission trip too, there are people who are very like pro-vax and pro, like they have different things, you know, and I realize it's going to get hard in the end times. It's not going to be non-Christians versus Christians. It's going to be Christian versus Christian. It's going to be you versus your mom and dad, you know, but even to then I said, I decided, you know, I will be despised by my family. I will be despised by church members. I will be the scum of the earth because I'm going to stand with Jesus. I'm just might as well go all in. I've come this far. I have, what have I to lose? And when I give my heart to Jesus and I go all out for him, it feels so good. It feels so good. I just realized, like, wow, I want to be set apart, you know? And so I felt bad to my parents, but I decided, you know, I'm not going to watch any TV. I'm not going to watch movies. I'm not going to watch TV. I'm not going to use my phone and go on the internet. No social media, no TV, no YouTube, no anything. Because, not because I'm strict and religious, but because I want that feeling of being holy. Felt so good. There's nothing else. I want more. I want to keep that so badly. Even if it means I can never, you know, use my, go online, the internet ever again. Like, I don't care. if I can never watch anything ever again, or if I, whatever it takes, because I want to feel the nearness of God and the Holy Spirit filling me. It feels so good. There's nothing I want more, you know, and I felt like for so long too that I struggled because I wanted to do missions and I told my parents I want to be a traveling evangelist and revivalist my whole life, but I felt like so guilty to do that in a way because I felt like, oh, that's impractical, oh, I'm so naive, oh, my family will look down on me, oh, I'm smart and I'm wasting my potential and all this stuff, but I felt like through this that like God was really setting me free that like, why do I have to feel guilty? Why do I have to feel ashamed? Why do I have to feel like it's impractical, you know, or that it's naive? But I want to, you know, and I decided, you know, I'm going to let myself say I want to be a missionary because I want to so badly. I want to. And not because I'm good, not because I'm not going to suffer, but because it makes me so happy. There's nothing that makes me feel more joyful than to evangelize and to do his work. I feel so happy. So I felt like God was giving me permission to say that, you know, like, if I love it, why not, you know? And maybe I'll go through hard things, but at the end of the day, like, if I love it, what else can I say, you know? I love being all out, and I feel like, yes, I'm worried. I have fears that my love is not enough. My passion for God is so fickle. I know it is. One second I love God, the next day I'm sinning before him, you know? And it's definitely, I see that in the past like few days I've been home. I'm so weak. My love is so small. But when I look at God, there's nothing else that I want to do. There's nothing else that there's no other conclusion except to just be a servant of God and be a missionary. I don't know what that looks like. But yeah, I want to be set apart and I want to be all in for Jesus. And it's not suffering to me. It's just a blessing to me. And I would love to do that. I'd be honored to do that. And okay, yeah, I was reading this one verse, 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. It says, "To the present hour we hunger and thirst, we are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things." And when I read that, like, I felt so excited. Because I felt like, yes, I want to do that so badly. Like, I want to be the scum of the world. I would love to. So I can experience the power of God. If only that I can be the living image of Jesus so that people can see God and know God. I want to be the lowest of the low. I'm so sorry to my parents because, yeah, I struggle with that. But I'm trying. I want to be the lowest of the low so that Jesus can be seen in my life, so that people can know God. What else is there in this life? There's nothing else. If you really think about it, there's nothing else. We're all called to be missionaries. Whether it's in the U.S., in our workplaces, you know, wherever you go, I think I realize we're all called to be missionaries, first and foremost. And the person that you don't evangelize to share the word, share the life to, they're going to go to hell. And that blood will be on our heads, you know. They're going to be looking at us, asking us, why did you not tell me, you know? What else is there? And I felt like, so, oh my gosh, I need to evangelize to my family, my extended family, to my cousins, you know, to everybody that I met that I wasn't able to share the gospel to even the youth kids that I ministered to who fell away from God. It's on me. I want to go back. I want to say, please, would you give God a chance? You know, I don't want there to be anyone, anything I regret, anyone I missed out on, you know, when they could have life. They can know God. So, yeah, I'm asking God to teach me about Jesus, because if we really have access to that same power in us, surely, you know, Jesus can help us to overcome everything. If he really is the living model for us on this earth, and he says that we have his spirit in us, then surely, like, there is a way that we can overcome the way that he did. And I'm asking, you know, just teach me about Jesus. How did you do that? How are you so humble? How are you so surrendered to God? Teach me about Jesus. And every time I just look at Jesus, I think God just tells me, just look at me. If you're worried that your passion is not strong enough, that you don't know what to say, just look at me. Just look at me. I will teach you. So I'm asking you to teach me about Jesus because I want to be like that. We can all have the same victory in Jesus. There can be healing. There can be miracles. And there can be salvation of many souls. And so after this trip, basically, before I end, like, I want to ask for a prayer request. I'm actually going to New York this coming week with the organization that we all went with. Because I was able to preach and I was able to, like, lead. And I felt like God was really... Interestingly enough, like, on my 25th birthday, the night that I turned 25, I was doing, like, an Instagram live, and I was, like, preaching, and I don't know why, I just felt, like, so filled with the Holy Spirit, so I was just, like, preaching on the live, and so all these people who know, like, Sunflower, my song, were, like, tuning in, and I was just, like, preaching it, and I just felt, like, looking back, like, oh, maybe God is doing something on my, like, now I'm 25, like, something, I don't know, but anyway, I was invited to go to New York and also preach at a conference there, two conferences, and also lead worship. And so I just would love your prayers. I really want to experience the power of God and for the salvation of many souls. So please pray for me, and I'll be praying for you too. That's it. Can I pray for us? Yeah. Okay. Dear God, we love you so much, and we're just so thankful for just you, Jesus, that there's no one better. God, you're so beautiful. You're so worth it, God. And Lord, we give our lives to you wholeheartedly, Father. It's no suffering, but it's just a joy. It's just a joy, God. I thank you for meeting me, Josh, and Timo on this trip. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're filling this church with people who genuinely are hungry for you, God. I thank you, God, that you're so eager and ready to pour out your Spirit on those who will just believe, and those who just want it, and you're so willing to pour out yourself, God. You're so willing if we would only believe in you, God. So, Lord, increase our faith, God, that we would hunger and thirst for you, God. Increase our faith, God, that we would have the courage, God, to step out and be all in for you, Jesus. Not one foot in the world and one foot with you, God, but give us the courage to say all in for you, Jesus. Father, would you remind us of the truth, God? Remind us that it is you alone in this world that is worth it, God. Remind us, Father, teach us to fight, to crucify our flesh. Teach us to follow you, Jesus, that we may be disciples of Christ, God, not just churchgoers, not just believers, God, but Lord, true disciples of you, Jesus followers, God, so that we can be filled with your Spirit, that we can walk in your way, God, that we can walk according to our purpose, God. Lord, because we know that when we do so, we will be filled with an abundance of joy, God, and that we will have a closeness with you, Father. That's heaven on earth, God. So, Lord, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Father, may you rule and reign first in our hearts, God. And your kingdom would rule and reign in our hearts first and foremost before anything, Lord. We love you so much, Jesus. And in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Give God some praise. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have much to say, but one thing I heard from the mission trip is that the pastor would give very little advance warning, and he would say, like, 5 minutes before, you give a testimony. You sing a song. I'm going to pull that card right now. Timothy, come forward. Timothy will sing a song. Pauline, if you can play a guitar. We received some prophetic words that our boys would be praised and worship leaders. Amen. So may that come to pass starting today. I have a praise book. I didn't give any advance warning. So please sing a song. Amen. Amen.
The deer 74.
82. Okay, let's go.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Thank you. Okay, let's pray. Father, you're so good. Father, you alone are good. We want to be true ministers before you. We want to give you praise. We want to give you worship. We want to give you thanksgiving. Father, thank you for these three precious brothers and sisters and their testimonies. The young people, you're raising up a young generation that will put the older ones to shame because of the faith that you're birthing in them. So, Father, we just bless them. Bless this young generation. I pray that us who are a little bit older, we can pour into the youth, pour into this young generation, because they will do things that will shock us as the Spirit is poured out into them. So, Father, we just want to bless them. I pray that you speak to them. I pray that you would shepherd each decision that they make. pray that in the end they would be good worshipers, good thankers, good confessors of sin, and good servants and slaves of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everything is off script today. The one verse that came to mind as I listened to the testimony of Timothy earlier this week was Revelation 12, verse 11, and I'll read that one. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. And then verse 10 says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. There's a power when we wield a testimony. It's like wielding a sword. The blood of the Lamb, we know it's powerful. But when the blood of the Lamb is coupled with a word of somebody's testimony, it's like that person is fully armored, they have a sword, and they are wielding it, and Satan can do nothing to that person. They are truly have become an overcomer. And I was listening to Timothy's testimony earlier this week, and just so many thoughts came to me as I listened. The first one being is when I came to faith at age 19. So Timothy is coming to faith at age 18. He's ahead of me, and in so many ways, God put in my heart many years ago that my boys, their faith is going to far surpass mine. They're going to get a double portion of my spirit, and so in the future, I might have to tune into their channel or go to their church and be discipled by them, because they are going to be so anointed. And I remember when I came to faith, I was at such a disadvantage because I did not grow up in a believer's home. And my father was, could be difficult at times. He tried his best. I mean, he just was loving me the way he knew. And if he didn't know God, it's quite limited. And I remember the first thing that I realized when I came to faith in Christ is my eyes were open and I have a new father. And it's the unconditional love of a father. And it was the first time I knew that God loves me like this. And I experienced that. And along the way, I lost touch with Jesus because I was so busy serving the church. And as I lost touch with Jesus, one thing became fuzzy again was this Heavenly Father. And it took me so long, to reconnect with my Heavenly Father, because I thought he is mad at me. He is displeased with me. He wants me to labor for him. He's like a harsh master and a boss. And it's in recent years, as I get reacquainted with Jesus, the first thing he shows me is the Heavenly Father again. He is unlike whatever I understood, and I knew him in the beginning. I lost touch with him as I lost touch with Jesus, and now he's giving it to me again and reintroducing himself. And that's what Philip's prayer was in John 14. He says, Lord, show us the Father. It's enough for us. And then Jesus says, if you know me, you know the Father. I want to ask the question that I asked last week, because Pauline hit her sharing, reminding me of that, and who here is called to full-time ministry? Raise your hand. And it might be surprising to some who are not here last week. Why is everybody raising their hand? It's because a minister is someone who primarily ministers before God. That is, we are all Levitical priests, and we don't come to God empty-handed. We come to him with our worship, We come to him with our thanksgiving. We come to him with a confession of our sin. And so what I love about this these testimonies and hearing about this mission trip is unlike any mission trip I've ever been a part of, because they spent, I think, far more time in worship and in God's presence than the actual service. Like, usually when I think about mission trip, it's like 90% or more were out there serving people. And then we come back feeling excited, but it just fizzles out because there's nothing transforming with service. It's just a good memory. It just fades over time. But if you get good at worshiping, you are someone who worships in spirit and in truth, and you get good at giving thanks in all circumstances, and you get good at confessing your sin, not because you feel condemned, but because you want to remove blockages between you and God, and you want to have a clear channel of fellowship with him. If that is your desire to be a minister, and that is a priesthood of all believers, because of what Jesus did, we have access. The curtain has been torn. We have access to our Heavenly Father through Christ. And in his presence, what we get to do, our privilege, it's our privilege we get to worship and give him thanks and praise him for who he is and confess sin so that we can be in fellowship with him. And if you don't know your Heavenly Father, because Jesus teaches in the Lord's Prayer, the first name of God that he gives to us is Father. And Jesus, he really wants to highlight, this is such a lofty name and a title that he says, don't call anyone else Father. And so that always confused me, because we have earthly fathers. I thought we even have spiritual fathers, but here, in a purely spiritual sense, Jesus is saying there is only one Father, and he is our Father in heaven. And this Father you must get to know. He is not angry. He is not a taskmaster. He's not just a boss who wants you to go to missions and serve him. That's not the main goal of he just wants you to know his heart. He wants you to fellowship with him, and so we are all full-time ministers. And as I listened to Timothy's testimony, I was, on one hand, I was having a little bit of self-pity. Let me just be honest. I was having a little bit of self-pity because I tried my best. And I know my best is not good enough, but I tried as best I can to Ephesians chapter 6, to raise up the kids in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I know I am far from perfect. I tried my best, but it always, but I'm not seeing faith being transferred to the boys in a very obvious way. Of course, they are believers, and we went through baptism, and so there's enough belief, enough honoring of parents, enough desire to obey Mark 16, that whoever believes and is baptized is saved. There's a desire to go into the ocean a few weeks ago and to go through that act and testify to whoever's watching that I am a follower, a believer of Christ. But in terms of the joy, in terms of the thanksgiving, and as Joshua said, in terms of the singing in our home, it just wasn't happening. And I was like, Lord, am I doing something wrong? And as Pauline shared, it's like, what is Christ not coming out? Am I not showing Christ the way I should show Christ? What am I doing something wrong? And so there was that self-pity, and that's something I still have to repent of more and more. There's also the other side. That when we were praying in UC Santa Barbara and we are praying to the Lord, Where do you want Timothy to go? And we were surrendering to the best of our ability. And then we got to the end of our prayer walk / tour that Andre graciously was taking us around the campus, because he went there before. And we got to this lagoon, ocean, whatever it is, and there's this large tree. We're praying there as a family. Andre's there as well. And we're asking the Lord, can you make it clear? Do you want him to come to Santa Barbara? And Matthew 6 came to mind as we prayed, and if the Father, again, it's the Father, if he feeds the birds of the air, if he clothes the lilies of the field, how much more he will take care of my boy, who is really God's child. And I remember seeing all the birds flying in this just majestic tree. And as we're praying, this one of these birds pooed and landed on Jackie. So I mean, this is a very significant moment in our family. And I just had a deep impression because I know I've tried my best. I know I failed. But God was telling me, Timothy is mine. You can let go. I will take it from here. And it was always my prayer as a father, before they leave my house, I want to see something. I want to see a joy of the Lord. I want to see some fruit. I want to see singing. I want to see a countenance that is brightened. I want to see just some kind of a sign that the Spirit is there and the heart has changed and the song has changed. And when I saw Timothy Wednesday night, I saw it. I saw it. Like Timothy growing up, he had a smile on his face. But over the years, it got quenched. And I was like, where is that boy? I remember him smiling. And then you see that the pictures over the years, no smile. And I saw that smile again. And I saw singing. I've been trying to get the boys to sing, but now it's like I don't have to tell Timothy. In the morning, at night, he is singing on his own. And before I was like, I'm telling the boys, do your devotion. You want to play games? Do your devotion. I'm trying to use every trick in the book. I'm just trying to get them to at least plant the seeds. Even if it doesn't mean anything, just get the seeds in there. And now I'm seeing Timothy on his own saying, I'm reading the Bible on my own. And he's saying, and on his own, he's saying, I think I should stop playing games for a season. And then my boys heard that, and they're saying, Jeremiah's saying, I also will give up games. And then Elijah doesn't want to give up games, but he's saying, I guess I will give up games only for the weekday. I'll play on the weekend. So that's pretty good for Elijah. And you can already see just one transformation, it's already having an effect. And just to, I just want to wrap it up here, but I want us to get good at worshiping and ministering before the Lord. And one thing I've been repenting of, in addition to falling short as a father who displays Christ, the other thing I've been repenting of is that I don't know all the names of God. And no wonder my worship is short. If I knew his name and all the multifaceted character of God and the attributes of God, wouldn't my prayers be a lot deeper, more profound, at least prolonged? If I knew how to just, before asking for things, before confessing things, just surrendering in his presence and just being there, just ministering before him, wouldn't that be a sweeter time at the first portion of prayer? And my homework to you is just look into the names of God. I will be preaching on this for some time. I just want to introduce them now. Funny thing is, did you know that God is Korean? God is Korean because there's a Korean word, yah. Yah. That is a Korean word, hey. Hey, you. And if you don't know God's name, it's almost like his name is Yahweh. But it's almost like that's it. We just say, hey. Like you meet a friend for the first time. And you don't, and you met him before, but you forgot his name and you say, hey. But we're trying to teach the boys, for example, when you see an uncle and aunt say their name, look at them in the eye, say their name, just don't say hello with your head down. Look them in the eye and say, hello, so-and-so. Say their name. And so I realize it's like, I know some of God's names. But why, by now, why don't I know all of them? Why hasn't my prayers been enriched with all the names of God? And so the first one, I just want to define these and leave them to you. The first is El, Eloah, or Elohim. El is creator God. The prolonged, emphatic form of El is Eloah. And the plural form of El is the plural form of Eloah is Elohim. And Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, Elohim. I wish the English kept these words in there so that we would say, what does that word mean? Instead of just being the Lord or God or whatever, I wish, or sometimes it just says He. I wish it just left the original name of God so that the people of God would hunger and thirst to know Him and say, what does that Hebrew word mean? And El, Eloah, Elohim is in the beginning. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. It is the creator God. Then there is there is Yahweh, where we get Hallelujah, Yahweh. And this is a bit confusing, but if you there's no vowels in there, and no one really knows how to pronounce it. And so some people think the phonetic spelling spells Jehovah, or where we get Jehovah. And that is when you see in the Bible, it is the proper name of God. It is all caps, L-O-R-D, all caps. And that is Jehovah. And then there is Jehovah Jireh, or Jireh. And that is God, our provider. There is Jehovah Rapha, God, the one who heals. There is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. There is Jehovah Shalom, my God is our peace. Jehovah Rohi, God our shepherd. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, God is there. Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, one who provides, our provider. Jehovah Nisi, our banner. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And let me just end with Jehovah Jireh. Our God is our provider. Genesis 22. When Abraham is been asked to surrender his son, and I do believe it's not a little boy, Isaac. I believe he's a 33-year-old grown-up man who is participating with the faith of his father. He is also, as a grown man, voluntarily laying down his life. This is a picture of the father and Jesus the son. And they are going up a mountain ready Abraham is ready to kill and murder Isaac, because he believes the promises of God, that God said, through your seed, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. And so it says in the book of Hebrews that he had faith that God could raise his son from the dead. That is what is driving this narrative. And right before he's about to plunge the knife, an angel of the Lord says, stop. And there's a ram, there's a male sheep in the thicket. And God says, don't sacrifice your son. I have this lamb I want you to sacrifice. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh Jireh, as it is to this day. On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. God will provide. And that word for provide is based on the word raha. Ra'ah, to see. There are things in your life that you are in need of, and God sees it. There is a confession by, I'm reminded of this because of Daniel and Sora are here. As you know, we were praying for them for many years to have children. And I think they were married for 13 years. So this was a long, long prayer request. And God spoke to Sora somewhere in that span, that you will have your own children. And as they're growing older, it's like this womb, it's like Abraham and Sarah, this womb is soon to be as good as dead. I'm running out of time, and there's a pressure to say, okay, let's do foster children. But Sarah, Daniel, they hung on to the word of the Lord. And Hannah's confession in Exodus 15. No, not Hannah's confession. This is, where am I seeing this? Whoops. Genesis 16. Let me look at that real quick. Genesis 16. Verse 13. Yeah, this is about Hagar. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You're a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly I have seen him who looks after me." Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. And if you recall, many of the men and women of faith, especially the barren women, they were crying out to the Lord. And here is a testimony that God sees the cries of these women. And even as Hagar is being sent away and thinks her life is over, God comes through for her, and she says, God sees. This is the word for provider. And so whatever you're going through in life, just know that God sees it. If there's a financial burden, God sees it. If there's a relational burden, God sees it. If there is a problem in your life, God sees it. But we know that the ultimate provision is Jesus Christ. And if you will see over the course of, I don't know, however many weeks it takes to get through the names of God, you will see that all of the names of God converge in the person of Jesus Christ, because he is the ultimate fulfillment of the names of God. He is the ultimate expression of these names of God in the flesh. And I pray that as you do your own homework and as we go over the names of God, you will your prayers will expand, and your ministry before the Lord will sweeten as we all become ministers before him. Okay, let's pray. Father, we commit ourselves to full-time ministry, not in the general sense that we have come to know, meaning serving the church and going on missions and doing things for people. Lord, that will come. But Lord, the primary ministry of every believer, the priesthood of all believers, is we are Levitical priests who minister before God. And thank you for teaching us today. You have many names. Forgive us. We just said, hey, to you. We didn't call you by your name. All the names that we see, Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Shammah, our Father, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Word of God, Strong Tower, our present help in the time of need. You're the same today, yesterday, today, forever. So Lord, there's so much, the great I am. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. There is so much in the name of Yahweh that we want to come to know, so that when we enter your presence, we're not entering empty-handed, but we have things to offer to you, like a Levitical priest did: worship, thanksgiving, confession of sins. So Lord, we pray that you minister to us as we minister before you. I pray, Lord, thank you for Jesus, who is our greatest provision,
We have many needs, many requests, but our greatest request is to meet Jesus and to fellowship with Jesus and to abide in Jesus and to get to know Jesus and for Jesus to get to know us so that at the end of our lives, Jesus will say, I know that brother, I know that sister. They've walked with me all the days of their life. They've served me. They've lived for me. So Lord, I pray that you would minister to us as much as we minister before you. I pray that as your body was broken and your blood shed, it is a blood of the Lamb, and it's the word of our own testimony that makes us overcomers. We understand that things are getting difficult in this life, but Lord, you are our banner. You are Jehovah Nisi. You are fighting for us. The victory is ours for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Pray that you meet us as we wrap up this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
praises to your name. Oh,
praises to your name.
Praises to your name. Oh,
for your name is great.
For your name is great.
And greatly to be praised.
Greatly to be praised.
Sing that again.
I sing praises to your name.
Worship to your name.
We give worship to your name. Oh Lord, worship to your name. Worship to your name. Oh Lord, for your name. For your name is great and greatly to be praised.
We give worship.
We give worship to your name. Oh Lord, worship to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
We give glory to your name.
We give glory to your name.
Father, I want to lift up to you all of us here, especially the young people. We pray that you would, from this place, send out your missionaries. I pray that from here you will send out your praise leaders. We pray that from here you will send out pastors and ministry leaders. We pray that you would gift us with all the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we would prosper and shine the light of Jesus in whatever we do. We pray specifically for Pauline. We pray that you bless her with every spiritual gift. Lord, we pray that you give her a healing gift. We pray that you keep fanning into flame her gift of worship and singing. We pray that you fan into flame this gift of preaching that is being birthed in her. Lord, what a challenge it is to see this young generation rising, Lord, that in this older generation, maybe we have to learn. So we have so much to learn from these young people who are being directly shepherded by you. Father, we pray, Lord, for every child in this room that you would save them. From youngest to oldest, that is the only thing that parents, we care about, is for our children to be saved. Who cares about the world? We care about salvation for every youngest child a boy or a girl, I pray every single, not even one will be lost, but every single one will be saved. Father, thank you for answering my prayers. I did not know. I was getting a sense that time is running out with Timothy going off to college, but I always ask you, just show it to me. Show me a sign before he leaves. And Lord, you came through. Lord, you always come through. We praise you right before he's off, going off to college. You showed me with my own eyes, right at the 11th hour, you showed it to me. So all of our prayer, Lord, you're a God who sees. Jehovah Jireh, you see it, you hear it. Every prayer request, it is going to be answered in your timing, in your way. So we praise you, we trust you, we surrender our children to you. We surrender our lives to you. We surrender our career to you. Everything we do, Lord, may we bring all the glory and honor due to Yahweh. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You deserve all the praise and glory due your name. We worship you today and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give God a hand.